Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Carolyn Maloney, we talked on the last time about the gender gap, but in the last election, the presidential election, we saw a huge immigration gap. Also, Hispanics voted against the Republicans in huge numbers. Do you see that as something that will help the Democrats retake the Congress?
Oh, absolutely. And you know that a comprehensive immigration reform bill passed the Senate in a bipartisan way. It was a huge achievement. And we were hoping on the Democratic side that that bill would go to the floor of the House, but the Republicans prefer to take a piecemeal approach that will likely not address all the important issues that a comprehensive bill would. And they have historically been very unsympathetic towards immigration reform. One of the sticking points is a path to citizenship, and under our bill, the one that we're supporting from the Senate, there is a path to citizenship. It's not easy. You have to work towards it. You have to learn English. You have to prove your employment record. You have to go through numerous steps, take an exam, pay a fine and a fee, but you can't achieve citizenship. I had a bill in right after 9/11 to help the people who lost a loved one on 9/11, that they were killed because they were treated as Americans. They were attacking America, and 16 people had a mother, a brother, a father, a sister, a aunt that were in the country undocumented. And I put in a bill just for those 16 people. I felt it was only fair that we give them a path to citizenship. They had lost their right arm, their heart, their mother, their father, working in the World Trade Center. And I could never get the Republicans to go along with it. So they're rough on immigration, but we'll see what happens. Maybe we can get the votes. There have been many Congressional Budget Office estimates that a comprehensive immigration reform would reduce the deficit of over $130 billion over 10 years, and that's one of the things that the other side says it is so worried about. So the reform bill would also increase the solvency of both Medicare and Social Security. So that's an important bill, and we're working for it. It would boost economic output. It would help New York's economy, too.
Do you ever talk to the Republican colleagues and say to them, why are you behaving this way? Don't you know that this is going to hurt you?
Well, they are not coming out against the bill, but they're not moving a bill. And they're saying they want to go in a piecemeal way. But there's no doubt that it would strengthen New York's economy and create jobs. Immigrants already make important contributions to our economy. For example, New York's labor force is 27% foreign-born. And in 2009, immigrants accounted for 28% of total economic output in the New York State and metropolitan area.
Wow.
So we'll keep plugging on that, and we'll keep picking, working hard on it. We also are facing budget fights. We'll have to be raising the debt ceiling and going forward in that way.
Well, Speaker Boehner says that he wants real concessions. Some people think he wants Obamacare abolished. Is there any chance he can get that?
Well, he has gone to the floor of Congress 40 times to abolish Obamacare. And they pass it. Of course, it dies in the Senate. But they're into messaging, and they have gone out there 40 times to the floor of Congress trying to abolish the health care for all. So,
I want to talk to you about colleges for a minute. I don't think I could afford to send my kids to a private college now. You know, $60,000 a year, $60,000 a year. That's an incredible amount of cash. Means you got to make a third more than that when we pay your taxes and all the rest of it. How have we gotten to this mess?
Oh, I tell you, I love President Obama's new proposal for college and making it more affordable. And I think to come out with a scorecard or a plan that has a federal rating system so that parents and students can see how colleges are performing and make an informed choice of where they're going to go, and tying the rating as to whether or not the colleges help these young people graduate and get jobs. Now, in New York State, the average young person graduates with roughly $27,000 in loans to repay. And this is interesting, Alan. The amount of credit debt for college students is now larger than the mortgage debt or the credit card debt in our country. So it is huge. I have interns and youngsters working for me, new college graduates, that have over $150,000 in student loan debt. It's just skyrocketed. The tuition has gone up 250% in the last 30 years, while wages have only gone up 15%. It's really something we need to do something about, and I welcome his focus on it. He announced it in New York State and has been to Buffalo, Syracuse, Seneca Falls, and talking to people about this. But we need to get the right mix of steps to make sure college is affordable and accessible for all Americans, regardless of income. And we need to stop these escalating costs at colleges so it's more affordable.
Well, that's well said, Carolyn, and you know how much I appreciate your insights into all this. But I went to Hunter College, graduated in 1963, and it was free, absolutely free. I looked around, and there were lots of kids who, if you had charged $500, couldn't have gone. Mm-hmm. I could have, but there were lots of kids around who couldn't have. And that's what really has me worried. You have Chancellor Goldstein, a wonderful guy, but takes great credit for having increased the, you know, the scores and the people who are at City University. Same thing at the State University. And yet, because we've proceeded that way, because we've raised the tuition, an awful lot of those kids who will never see the inside of a college.
Well, we also have student loans, and some colleges and universities have a policy that anyone who's qualified and gets in, that they will pay for them. They're different grants, they're different loan programs, but it should be more affordable, because young adults with a college degree earn on average $45,000 a year, while young adults with a high school diploma earn only $29,000, and that's according to our Department of Education.
Makes
sense. So I'm glad the president's taking this on. If you have a college, investing in a college education is a tremendous asset in the overall economy and helping those students. But and also it's such a drag on the overall economy. These young people that are graduating with so much debt, they can't buy a new home, they can't buy a car. They can't really invest in the economy because all their money's going to student debt. And one of the proposals that the president has put forward that I hope we can get together and get behind and pass is that he would mandate that student loan debt for low-income students does not exceed 10% of a student's income.
Carolyn Maloney, we love you, and we're going to come back and talk about Fannie and Freddie and Syria and one more time after this. So we thank you for being with us. I can't tell you what it means to us to have you with us.
Thank you.